out there. And second announcement is, in January, so as of January, I told you that I'd like to have, again, a Bible study as a church on Sunday nights. And the purpose is to equip us as a church to understand and be nourished through the Old Testament. For now, it's the Old Testament. So did you ever ask yourselves why, for example, why did David hamstrung the horses in 2 Samuel chapter 8 when he won an amazing victory, and as a plunder, he had like hundreds of horses, he chose to hamstring them. It's really cut their tendons. That's what it meant. Ever wonder why? Would you like to know? Okay. Well, he was obedient to God's word as a king. Because as you read 2 Samuel as a prophetic book, because it was prophecy for the Jews, you actually have to look back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, when the book says this: a king shall not have many horses. And David was obedient. He knew God's call for him as a king, trust in God, not in armies, and he was obedient to God. You know the three requirements for a king? What was a king supposed to not have? Not too many horses, not too much money, and not too many wives, exactly. So I hope that in this study on Sunday nights, I can equip you to understand and to enjoy, to taste the goodness of God through the Old Testament by allowing you to know how to read a book of prophecy, how to read a book of historical writing. And we'll actually go also to the wisdom literature, to the Psalms in this case, and hopefully together we can seek God. You know, I'm not going to be the teacher, you know, with a book and you sit down and... No, we'll be interactive. We'll be, you know, like miners who go to a mine and dig together for diamonds. That's what I see ourselves. You know, I'll be probably the miner with a bigger light or a bigger axe. But it's going to be together. So I know that for now only two people said will come. But I have more faith in that, you know. So I'm praying for you guys, for God to move you and come. But even if you don't, you know, I'm still praying for you. Anyway, that was my two announcements. Nick, please come up. May I pray for you?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for Nick, for his ministry so far, and for the many great years of ministry from now on, but also especially today, we thank you for his message for us. May our hearts be touched by you, Lord, and moved to serve you and to know you more. Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Good morning, church. Thanks for coming out through the weather. I know it's a tough one. Coming down from Newmarket today was a little bit of a worry. I got a text this morning from my mom that said, be careful, leave early. It's going to be nice and snowy and icy. So thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. All right. I just want to pray again because I am super excited, but I'm also super nervous to do this today. All right. So take a moment in prayer with me. God, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, and I pray that you just speak through me this morning. Give me a peace that knows that you are the one who's speaking and not me. In your name we pray, amen. All right. So as you may or may not know, I'm a sports guy. I really thoroughly enjoyed sports in high school, not to the least of which was football. Football was probably my favorite. I loved to play it. I was the quarterback for the team. We weren't great at all. We were brutal. I don't think we won a game, but it was still a lot of fun to play. This relates to the church in a lot more ways than I bet we would realize just off the start. In the game of football, they do this weird thing where they come together as a team in between every single play. They make what they call a huddle. So everybody comes into one circle, and they talk to their teammates about encouraging each other or correcting each other or just leading each other toward doing better on the next play. They do a lot of that and just leaning on each other to get more energy for the next play, getting ready to go. Another major part of the huddle is they get the play sent in from a coach that gets to see well above the field. He gets to see everything that's going on, and he gets to see... We're good? Yeah? He gets to see everything that's going on, and he gets to see the defense that is being played against them. So he gets to send in the play to the huddle in response to what he sees going on around them. There's somebody in the huddle that gets to translate that play from that coach directly to everybody else that's in the huddle. So this week, I'm your quarterback. Audie's usually the starter, but this week I get to play in the big leagues. All right? So I'm sure you can get the correlation between coming together as a team and encouraging one another, rebuking one another, just building each other up, getting each other prepared to go out from the church and preparing to do God's work throughout wherever we go, all of our relationships. There's also one more major thing about football. It comes with a time limit for you guys, for us to try to win the game. So our time limit in our faith game is about 82 years in Canada. That's how long we can expect to live. So breaking that down into four quarters, we have 0 to 20, we have 20 to 40, we have 60 to 80, 40 to 60, and 60 to 80. So the 0 to 40 range, we're just getting started. We got to make a big push and try to get ahead in the first half. We got to try to learn everything that we can from the older generations that have been planned for a longer time. We have to try to really just glean off of their wisdom and make ourselves in, put ourselves in a good spot to come into the second half of the game. The third quarter, that's the 40 to 60 year olds. You guys want to be encouraging the other players, the new people of the faith. Make sure they're built up and running the right race, playing the right way, doing a good job. And then 60 to 80, you even more so. You know you're starting to push in the time limit. You're starting to run out of time. You really want to impart your knowledge on everybody else. And if you're here and you're over 80, you're like, well, my time's up then. I must be dead. You're wrong. You're wrong. There is overtime in football too, all right? The only way that the overtime ends is with sudden death, though. So just be ready. Be prepared for that. All right. This morning, we're going to be going through the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. If you have your Bible or your playbook, I would just ask you to open that up. We'll read through that this morning. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." Oh, which button do I click on this? That one? There we go. There you go. Okay. So there's three main points that we want to try to bring out from this. We want to be learning to make disciples. We want to be learning to baptize. We want to be able to go out and teach everything that God has commanded us to do. Discipling is to show people Jesus and the love of Jesus and how to follow him well. Baptizing is the public acknowledgement to an inner heart change that shows that we are committed to following God and we are part of his family. Teaching is going around and showing everybody the love of Christ and how he wanted us to do things throughout our life. So a major question that has to relate with this to a lot of Christians is, am I qualified? Am I able to do the job that God has called me to? I think I'm too young. I think I'm too old. I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. If we look through the Bible, a lot of the characters that God uses were not qualified by any looks of human eyes. We look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, who are the forefathers of our faith. They had their first child, or the child that they were supposed to have, at the ages 190. If you looked at their life, you would not be expecting them to be used by God because they were so old. Yes, they were promised to have a son, but you're 190. Like, there's no way that you guys are going to have a child. Moses, he tried to disqualify himself because he had a stutter, because he didn't think that he was able to talk to Pharaoh in the way that he should be able to, so that he could get Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. We look at the life of David. He was just a little teen. He was just a small little shepherd boy, and he got sent out into the battle against the largest Philistine that there was. He was literally a giant. He was the champion of the Philistine army, and little shepherd boy David got sent out to kill him. We look at the life of Saul. Saul was literally a murderer of Christians. He literally went from town to town with authority from the Jewish leaders to go and kill all the Christians. He later changed his name to Paul after being shown Jesus, and then he completely changed his life around and wrote over half of our New Testament. So if we look into like the disciples' lives, the people that Jesus expressly picked when he was on a mission here on earth, he picked Matthew, who was a liar, a cheat, a tax collector. The way that the tax collectors made money was they would charge the tax for the Romans, and then they would take extra for themselves. Clearly not a very good guy, but Jesus chose him as well. James and John, they were both really, really proud people. They went with their mom to go ask Jesus if they could sit on his left and his right when they were in heaven. They didn't care which order of the two of them. They just wanted to be the ones right beside Jesus. Judas literally sold Jesus' life to the Romans and to the Jewish leaders. He sold it for 30 pieces of silver. He knew exactly what was going to happen to Jesus, and he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. All of the disciples argued about who was best among them. The reference is there for that as well. They all thought that they were better than the others. They all thought that they were deserving of more than the others. Even after Jesus came back to life, when the 11 disciples were together worshiping Jesus, some of them still doubted that Jesus was God. They're looking at the resurrected Jesus, the guy who had walked around with them for 3 years, taught them, trained them, and then came back from the dead, and as he said he would, and they still didn't believe him. So I think that's pretty clear that if you don't think you're qualified, you're among good company. I don't think there's many stories in the Bible where we would look at somebody and say, yeah, you were qualified, you were good enough for that. Like it says there, God is not deterred by our failures. It doesn't matter all of our struggles, whatever we are putting upon ourselves to make us think that we are not good enough. God can look at that and fill up all the gaps. He will make us whole. He will empower us to do great things. He will use the Holy Spirit to qualify us and empower us. In Acts 2, he did this with the disciples. They were up in the upper room, and they were hiding because they thought they were going to be persecuted after Jesus' death. And then they get filled with the Holy Spirit and go out and have a big sermon and worship time and preaching. And over 3,000 people came to Christ on that day. It was a massive move of God. And that was the first time that it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death. So whatever we think that we are not capable of, we will get the Holy Spirit when we are believers in Christ, and he will empower us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, and boldness and faith and the gifts of the Spirit. As long as we are believers in Christ, we are qualified, all right? What are we qualified for? We're qualified to make disciples, baptize, and teach. But how do we go about that? There's a number of ways to go about bringing that message to the world. If we look at Mark 12, it tells us to love God and love others. That's all of the others. That's like the Christians, the gay people, the atheists, the Muslims. It doesn't matter. It's just go and love them. If we look at Matthew 5, it talks about being salt and light in the world. Being salt was about being preservative. It preserved the goodness of the food. We're called to go and be good and make others good around us and keep others good. Being light in the world, we're called to be a little light of Jesus. I believe it was Audie that said earlier, we're called to be the light of, Jesus was the light of the world, and we're called to reflect him. We're called to be like Jesus. Just shine out in the darkness, bring people hope, bring people guidance, and give people a reason to push forward and just overcome the darkness. If we look at Romans 1:16, it tells us to be bold in our faith and go preach the gospel. It tells us to go and not be afraid of any condemnation that may come to us. Just go boldly and preach it. If we look at 1 Peter, it talks about being ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. That one is one that I'm going to stick on for a little longer today. It's been a massive part of my life, getting the peace of God, which I believe is one of the biggest points to hope. I believe that if you have peace, you can then hope is not very far away. And I think that if we show a great peace in our lives, it's a great reflection of hope. So there's a few major times in my life where this specifically has made an impact. When I was about 9 years old, I got home from school, and it was like any other day up until that point. I didn't think there was anything weird going on. But when I get home, my parents sat me and my brother down at the table, and they told us that our grandpa was dead. And that was an intense moment on its own. And then I found out that not only was he dead, he was murdered. And then not only was he murdered, but he was murdered by his son. My uncle, my dad's brother, killed his own father. So that was just an insane experience, and just trying to find out why this happened, how could this happen to my grandpa, was a very trying time, very difficult experience to go through. But what really brought me out of it was time in prayer, time in focusing on what God had to get through that situation. Since that moment, there's been countless times where I've been able to speak into somebody else's life and provide a little bit of hope, a little bit of peace, because I've gone through a terrible situation like them, because I've gone through the same kind of junk that they've been going through. Another time where I've gotten a lot of peace and guidance in my life was just last year. Up until May of last year, I was engaged. I was convinced that I was going to marry this girl. We were totally in love. We had everything planned out. We knew what we were going to do, and then we didn't. She broke it off in May of last year, and by anybody's expectation, I would not have been okay. I should not have been okay. It doesn't make any sense that I would be. But in that time, as soon as she told me that we were over and we were breaking up, I prayed to God and asked for a peace that just passes all understanding, like in Philippians 4. I knew I needed to realize why God was bringing this into my life and why it was happening. So yeah, I prayed for peace and understanding, and in that moment, God brought movie reel flashbacks to my life. He made me realize all the times in my relationship with her that he was calling me to step away from her. He was calling me to leave her because of things we disagreed upon or things that she was leading me to do. It was just not a good influence in my life, but I didn't realize it because I was young, dumb, and blinded in love. Trying to deal with that situation was made so much easier by these memories of all the times that I was supposed to leave her in the first place. There was numerous times whenever I asked God if I was supposed to marry her, I would actually get this pit in my stomach. It would just be a pain in my stomach. Why does the mic keep doing that? That's super annoying. What is it, Adi? Put it down a little bit? Not that. There? Okay. That better? There we go. Okay. Can you still hear me? Okay. A little louder? Okay. All right. Where was I? Sorry. Okay. Every time I asked God, I would get this pit in my stomach feeling, and I would just know that it was an answer of no, but I would just flip it around in my head and say, no, that's not my plan. This is what the answer is supposed to be, so this is what I'm going to go with. This is supposed to be a yes. I'm not supposed to feel that right now. That can't be from God. So I would just convince myself that my plan was the right way to go. And obviously that didn't turn out well. So then moving forward from that moment, I was continuing with my life. I was running my business. I was running my company. Things were going well. I was building my relationship with God because of the peace that he gave me through that situation. And then moving into the end of that summer, I think it was August of that summer, I was at a camp volunteering. I was being a counselor for a bunch of students there with my old church. And on one of the days, the pastor asked us to pray to God and see exactly what we're supposed to let go of, what we're supposed to release from our grip so that God can fill that hole. And all that I could think of was my company. And I was just like devastated because I had poured 4 years of my life into building this company. It was blood, sweat, tears, all the stress, all the pain of just trying to figure everything out and push this business further, and it was finally becoming to the point of like successful, like it was doing really well, to the point where I could actually like make a decent living off of just this company, and God was just asking me to let it go, and when it seemed like everything that he was doing was leading me toward keeping it and growing it. So in that moment, I was not at all at peace at that moment. I had to pray in that moment and ask God if it was from him. I asked him for a sign. I asked him to show me something and just send somebody to come and speak to me if it was from him. And so as soon as I finished praying that, I open my eyes and I look up and I see all of my grade 8 cabin, about 10 or 12 of them, stand up from their seats, walk around the pews and come sit right around me. And then one of them specifically said to me, like, Nick, whatever you're feeling that you're supposed to let go of, God is telling you right now, you gotta let go. And I was just like dumbfounded. Like I just had my grade 8 student that I'm here to pour into me. And I just broke. Like I was in tears and laughing and crying. And it was great. It was a great moment. We prayed for a few minutes and then they went back to their seats. But I still wasn't convinced. I still couldn't do it. It was such a big step that God was asking me to do. And I didn't think that I was able to do it. I went off for more time of prayer to myself. I went outside and I sat out in the garden and I prayed for another 5, 10, 15 minutes, something like that. And I asked God to send somebody out there to speak to me again, send somebody outside of the church to just bring me a word. And I was standing out there, and every time I saw the church door open, I would get all nervous because somebody was coming to talk to me, and then they wouldn't, and I was like, yes, okay, maybe I don't have to give up the company. So then after my 10 or 15 minutes, I walked back into the church, and it was like it was slow motion. I took one step into the church, and before the door even closed behind me, I see my friend who is looking around at the front. He looks toward the door, points me out, and just beelines toward me. Just hustled to the back of the church, and he was like, Nick, we need to do this. We need to let go. So that was it for me. I knew at that moment that was what God was calling me to do. So the trial wasn't done yet, because I was not the sole owner of the company. So my parents were investors with me, and I told them that I was going to be running this company. It was going to be my child. It was going to be what I was doing. It was my focus. It was none of their responsibility. It was all on me. And my parents are very big on, like, you gave your word, you're sticking to it. So in that moment, I was just like, oh no, how am I going to tell my parents that I need to leave this company? I get back from the camp, and it was an awkward, like, weird drive home for me with them, and I was trying to like figure out a good way to bring it up. And then we sat down in the living room and just talked about the week when we got home, and I think I just like spewed everything out of what was happening to me in this time, and just verbal diarrhea just flew from my mouth, and I just had no idea what I was saying and just completely flustered. And then at the end of it, they both just sat there and like gave it a couple awkward silence moments and then looked at each other and said, we know. And I was just like, again, dumbfounded, just, how do you know? Like, what do you mean you know? There's no way that you guys could just understand all of this. Earlier in that week, they had taken a nap. They woke up from the nap, they look at each other, and they say, Nick's not supposed to run laser tag anymore. And that was it. They just knew in that moment that like I was gonna come back from the camp and tell them that I wasn't supposed to run laser tag. And it's just crazy experience that God orchestrated all of that together. And even more than that, After, a few weeks after that, I was still trying to figure out what to do because I'm not running the company anymore. I wasn't going to be making my income there, so I had to find something else to pay me. And so I looked into school and I looked into other jobs. I looked in to see what kind of area God was leading me towards. And I always had a passion for youth. I would always love to work with youth. So I applied to three different Bible colleges, and I heard back from two of them. One of them said I didn't fill out all of the information in the application, which I clearly put all of the information in the application, but that's okay. they said I did not, so that was that. And then the other one said no. And I don't know if you know much about Bible colleges, but they accept about everybody. Like, in order for a Bible college to not accept you, like, there's got to be something wrong. Like, there's, so that I took, like, so personally. I was like, broken for a little bit because I was like, how are you this stupid? Like, there's no way that your grades were that bad that you can't get accepted to Bible college. So I was just lost and trying to search for God and find out what he wanted me to do in this time. So that's when I continued to dig and pray and try to follow where God was going in my life. And then I get a Facebook message from a friend who's a pastor, and he says that his church is looking for a part-time youth pastor. And it doesn't matter whether they have schooling or not, it doesn't matter any of that, as long as they have a heart for it and they would be good at it. So if I knew anybody like that, he just wanted me to send their name along so that they could apply and maybe they'd get hired. I don't know if you know the guy. His name's Audie. Within about 0.5 seconds, I think I sent him back a resume, and I was just like, hey, yeah, I'm super interested in applying for this job. I think it would be a great fit. I just had my entire life open up for this moment is the way I saw it. I had like my engagement that was tying me down in Niagara Falls. I had my company that was tying me down in Niagara Falls. And I just got rid of both of those earlier that year, which just opened me up to go and do what God was leading me to do. So if you look at the specific moments, like, yes, it would be pretty stressful. Yes, it was horrible, like, if you look at it individually. But if you look on it in the grand scheme that God has, there was a plan the entire time. There was always a way that he had me going and he had me growing. I would not have the relationship that I have with God if he had not taken me through all of those moments. If he had not led me through all of the crap, I would not be able to stand before you today and speak this morning. So yes, bad things are going to happen to you as a Christian. Jesus promised that to us. He said you will be persecuted and you will have trials and tribulations. That's going to happen. But God will use those moments so you can speak into other people's lives and you can grow closer in your relationship with him. So if we look at what we've gone through so far, we know that we are qualified. We know that we are qualified for good works through the Holy Spirit. So there's just one thing left to do: break the huddle and run the play. So we're in our little huddle here of church. And we're getting the ideas for plans that we're supposed to follow in our lives, baptizing and teaching and making disciples. But if we come into the huddle, we get the encouragement, we get the rebuking, we get the teaching, but we go back out onto the field and we just stand there and do nothing, then it's worth nothing. It's not authentic. It's not real. You aren't going anywhere with it. Nothing is happening. That is obviously not why Jesus called us to do it, so that we could go out there and do nothing. So I want to encourage you this week to seek God's will for your life, seek God's purpose out, and we're actually going to take a moment of prayer and ask for him to do that for us. Okay? God, we know that you have a great plan. We know that we are called according to your purpose for you. We know that you have such a power that you give to us. Please grant us boldness and faith and love so we can leave here and live boldly for you. God, I pray that you would just grant us awareness of the opportunities that you present to show your love and your mercy and your grace to all the people that you bring to our paths. God, help us seek you and your will above all else so we can be filled with you instead of trying to do it on our own. God, I pray that you just bless us this week with a greater knowledge of you and your love. God, I pray that we would leave this place just yearning to find what you want us to do in our lives, how you can use our situations, how you can use our hurts and our struggles. Amen. Maybe you have no idea what or who I'm talking about when I talk about Jesus or this faith stuff. Maybe you've heard of God and his love, but it's never really made anything, been personal for you. Or maybe it was personal at some time for you, but you've walked away. I really just want to have you listen to this part, and hopefully it sinks in for you. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We've all done something that was wrong in the eyes of God. We've all made a mistake, and because of those mistakes, we are separated from the love of God. We are separated from him for eternity because of those mistakes. But God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to live a perfect life that we could not live. He came in and went through the same struggles and trials that we did and temptations that we did, but he did it without failing, without sinning once. And he did that so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us. He could take all of the sin that ever was and ever will be onto himself so that he could just bring us into right relationship with God. And all that he's asking us to do in return is just confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. That's all that we have to do is just confess and believe. If that is something that sounds like you need to renew in your life today or something that you want to do for the first time, I'm going to ask you everybody to pray with me because nobody should have to pray that alone. It's got nothing to do with the words that I say. It's got nothing to do with how I say them. It's just about a real, authentic heart commitment to God. So everybody, please pray aloud. God, thank you for the sacrifice of your son. God, thank you for all of the work that you sent him to do in our lives. We pray that you would just allow us to realize the forgiveness that you've brought us through him. I commit my life to you. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, or if you like recommitted that, I pray that I'm asking you that you would just tell somebody before you go. Tell one of us that met you at the door, or me, or Audie. Just help us to help you. We want to give you a Bible or access to an online program called Right Now Media. What it is just it's a Bible study video series, and it has tons of them online. So you can have access to Bible studies to help you grow in your faith, to help you understand better the Bible. Because now that you're on the team, you need to learn the playbook. So just a few things to remember this week. God loves you. We love you. And we want to encourage you in any way that we can. Just please let us know how we can do that. You are qualified. You are empowered to do everything by the Holy Spirit. And now, break the huddle and run the play.
One question for you, Nick. So I asked you to, when I emailed that first Facebook Messenger message, I asked you to send out to your friends. Did ya?
No, not one.
Okay, thought so. Okay, and just to confirm that, I think we posted the announcement, Steve, 4 months on our official AGC website, and no one, like zero responses. So that's why I think it was December sometimes, I emailed, okay, who do I know that might respond? And I actually might know people who, I didn't think of you actually, Nick. I thought you'd be just the guy who knows guys. So anyway, we're thankful to God, and just want to end with one short verse. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 7th verse, speaks about a treasure that we have from God in jars of clay. We may not look qualified, but we are. Not because of us, but because of Him. And God does teach us. God does commission us. But what is left for us to do is actually going out there and living the Word of God. Thank you, Nick, for your message. And I'd like to think of those churches that have on their exit doors saying not just exit. You know, it says exit over there and over there. But it says actually, you are now entering the mission field. We haven't put that up because I'm afraid people will probably stick too much inside the church. And we, that was a joke, okay? But you are. As you leave this place, all y'all are going into the mission field. Whether it's your neighbors, your family, your friends, your co-workers. My hope and prayer, just as Nick has said, is that you realize that you're part of the team. That you go and learn the playbook. And then as God empowers you and encourages you, you run the play. Thank you, Nick, once again. See you next week. Actually, is it? Oh, we have one more song. I always forget about that.